Welcome to the Drama Teacher Podcast, brought to you by Theater Folk, the Drama Teacher Resource Company. Hello, I'm Lindsay Price. Hello again. I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. This is episode 204, and you can find any links to this episode in the show notes, which are at theaterfolk.com/episode204. Okay, so today, our guest today, she is a treasure. She is a treat. She is an amazing resource, and I am always so happy. I'm pleased as punch. I am over the moon when she finds time to talk to us. And this is a topic I know everyone has experience with, everyone will want to listen in on, and I know that you have been there. You've been there. The cast is fighting, no one knows their lines, maybe the flu has swept through your entire school. There are times when opening night is approaching and you are sure you won't be ready. Maybe you don't even want to be ready. Maybe you just want to like walk away from this play altogether. So drama teacher Lee Marshall is going to share her experience with the play that went wrong and what she learned and what she's going to change for next time. Because in educational theater, everything is a learning experience, right? Right. Okay, I'll see you on the other side. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. I am here talking to Lee Marshall. Hello, Lee.
Hello.
So tell everybody where you are in the world right now.
I am in North Carolina because I'm on break, on Thanksgiving break. We got a week this year. I'm sorry to all of you that did not get a week. We probably won't next year, so I won't gloat too much. But so I'm in North Carolina, though. I'm usually in Tallahassee, Florida is where I live and teach, but I'm in Black Mountain, North Carolina. It's really beautiful here. I'd show you more, but this is the outside of our little Airbnb. My three kids are inside. Two of them are in college and they're actually doing homework. So I stepped outside in 23 layers. I swear it's like 50 degrees, but I'm in 23 layers. So
yes,
I'm
nobody almost has embarrassed. Nobody has any sympathy because you have an entire week off. Although when we post this, it'll be like, I don't know, March or something. So Thanksgiving means nothing. And that you're usually in Florida where it's warm. So
yes.
So you have just completed a production of Steel Magnolias.
Yes.
And what you would like to say, because we've had conversations before about other productions, is that are you sitting in yoga pants? Are you done with the show?
In my yoga pants. And the funniest story is that we did the post-production for To Kill a Mockingbird last time, and I was in my yoga pants on the couch. And in the middle of production, like the bad 3 weeks, the last couple of weeks of it, I re-listened to that only because I needed to remind myself that one day, again, I would sit on my couch in yoga pants and sound that calm and happy. And I wanted to like be back in that space where I remembered how it felt to be done. And so I listened to that. So I was like, oh, I need to record another one. So next time I can listen to both of them and remember how it felt to be done, how good it felt, and that it will happen. You will at some point be done. So
that gets us right to what we're talking about today, which is what happens when your production becomes the play that goes wrong.
When I had that script. Yeah, I had that script. I just didn't know that I would be doing it.
You didn't know that Steel Magnolias would become that play.
Yeah.
And that, so if you guys, I know now is the time for lots of productions to be happening, maybe tech weeks to be happening, people in great teachers in stress and disarray about everything falling apart around you, which happens, I think happens more often than not when things just seem like A, they're never going to be over, and B, they're just awful. So let's take a step back and we'll ease into the awfulness. So why did you choose Steel Magnolias?
Our theme this year is strong winds, strong trees. And so about how strong winds make us strong trees. And also my next play, The Arsonist, is about how we have to be strong trees because there will be strong wind against us. So Steel Magnolias was my fall show. And along with this, the play that goes wrong should also be called All the Mistakes I Made. I'm glad we had the thing on failure last night because that was really great for me to set me up to talk about all my failures for this play. So I do things very intentionally, as you know. I usually, of course, I can say I usually because I've only taught high school 1 year. So I usually, the one act is supposed to be in the fall and it's supposed to be done completely by my advanced class. But The Arsonist is more of a one act, but it's also a bigger cast. And so Steel Magnolias, I didn't want to limit my everybody audition play to only six girls being in it. So I chose to do Steel Magnolias in the fall, which is a much shorter prep time, with my advanced class doing everything for it. And so that is why I chose it for the fall. I would still choose it again for the fall, but I'll definitely just do a one act next year in the fall. Steel Magnolias, the first act is like a one, is like a 45 minutes. I mean, the first scene one of the first act is like a one act in and of itself. And then you have three more acts, which are granted not as long, but it's a heck of a play to take on. The dialogue is really hard in it because it's very nonsensical. It's six women sitting around a salon talking, and they'll be talking about point A. I mean, one of our favorite, we had to really help our Truvy deal with some of the dialogue, is that she's talking, she'll mention crab claws, and then her next line is about romance, which is not usually a natural segue for normal people. So we had to teach her these kind of things about every time. Of course, crab claws makes you think of romance. And so for almost all of her lines, she had these funny little things that she had to connect in her brain to do that. So it was a very hard play in that sense that I chose it when I should have chosen a one act. So that was mistake number one.
Okay.
Let's start categorizing them.
We'll talk categorizing and yeah. Learning from, right? We talked, we're learning from failure, right? Learning from, and it's not failure. It's nothing that happened and then you survived it and then you can do something else. Okay. Yeah. So interesting step number one about your time and how much time you have to prepare a play and how on the one hand, it was a good choice because of your circumstance. But on the other hand, so if you had to choose, you know, a full length for this time, that shorter prep time is huge, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And the fact that the prep time is mostly in class. So that means you've got like 40 minutes at the most, and then the bell rings and they've got to leave. And this is just a play that you really needed longer rehearsals for. Once we actually got to the last 2 weeks, which is our after school rehearsals, and got it up on the stage and started running it in longer amounts of time, it did come together, but it was hard fought for. It really was hard. And of course I picked the theme Strong Wind, Strong Trees. So I don't know why I thought it would be easy. Next year, my theme's going to be Take a Nap. I'm going to find plays.
And we all just chill. It's yoga pants. You're just going to go on stage and everyone's just going to do like
we're going to breathe
some downward dogs and lots of ohms. That would be good.
Yeah.
Okay. So mistake number one was misinterpreting mistaking the prep time that you would need. Mm-hmm. And also having this notion of just time of rehearsals where your rehearsals were done in class. And choosing a play
not only the rehearsals are done in class, but like all theater teachers, set design, costumes, all of that. So I'm working so hard with the actors, and then the people are coming up to me like, "So what do you about this for the set design?" And I'm just like, you know, crazed. And then they're trying to paint the set and create it in only 30 minutes of class time a day, and then put stuff away and stuff like that. And you know, it was just in the middle of it was horrible. It was horrible.
Mistake number two. So what's mistake number two in the play that goes wrong?
I double cast some parts.
Oh, okay.
Because Krista and I have talked about this. Krista is also
a teacher. She's another teacher she's in Virginia.
Another teacher. And she mistakenly gave me her phone number at some point. So I'll give it out to all of you who are in the middle of play production going wrong. And, we struggle with this idea of, What is our role as educators and it being an educational experience and everybody getting participate. And then what is our aesthetic, you know, what gets the greater. And so for me, because it's my 3-4 class, I had 9 girls audition. And so I cast all of them. So I had three girls that were in every cast and then three that alternated. My Malin, Shelby, and Annelle alternated. And then it's a cast of all girls. Can we just take a moment and appreciate that? All girls, double
we'll have
cast.
A moment
so
of silence.
All, yeah, moment of silence for my lost. Yeah. Somebody says, I feel all of this. Yeah,
yes.
You feel it correctly. You are feeling correctly. You are. So we had issues of you like this cast better than the other one. This cat, you know, this person's doing a better job than this one. And this person's interpretation is different than this person and whose is right. And so we had all of that kind of going on. Would I double cast it again? I don't know. Like I said, I do it again in the fall with some other, you know, additions, time things. But would I double cast it again? I don't know. If I would, that got really hard because again, that's also a time issue because you've got your three characters that aren't getting or getting half the stage time as the other characters. And so it is harder for them to learn blocking and that kind of thing. It made it easier on sometimes, you know, with absences and stuff like that can get people to fill in, but it was hard. I made it harder still by double casting those three parts.
That's really, and it's a really interesting, I like that question that you brought up of education versus aesthetic.
Wish I could answer it.
Yeah.
I wish I could say, you know, it's a balance. I think it's always a balance. And I'm an educational theater. At one point, Krista did say to me, she goes, is it educational theater? Okay. Then you've done your job. It does, you know, aesthetic theater. That's awesome. And we strive for that. We totally do. But really, at the end of the day, like Matt said last night, has everybody learned something? Has everybody learned something from it? Even if it was, I learned what I did wrong.
So we were just to recap what's going on for our Drama Teacher Academy. We have monthly professional learning community events, and last night's topic was on failure. So which was just we're just in this mode now of just talking about, you know, what is failure? Did everybody learn something? Well, then nobody failed,
yeah.
Right? You know, if somebody learns something, then even though it may not feel like it was the right choice, it is still the right choice, right?
Yeah. So
that's what we want. That's what we want to think anyway, right?
Yeah, that's what we want to think. The double casting, I did everybody that auditioned, and everybody got the part they auditioned for. It just kind of worked out that way. So I was happy about that, and I think they were happy. But during the process, it was really tough with the, you know, nine girls.
Hey, we're just going to do a little, just because we just got a comment here about liking your idea of having a theme for the year. So in your theme this year was Strong Wind, Strong Trees. What was your theme last year? Because that was a really nice one too.
Yes, it was fear versus love. And the idea, because I was new at the school and the kids, you know, had lost their theater teacher and now had me. Oh, lucky kids. And so it was, we can either react in fear or we can act in love. And so let's not react in fear. I didn't want to react in fear when they said, you know, we liked our other teacher better, or this is the way somebody else did something. I wanted to always be acting in love. And so we did To Kill a Mockingbird and Antigone. A one act version of Antigone was my fall one for my advanced class with no set and very few costumes, which this one I did a set and costume, so there was a lot more going into it than last year's one act.
Oh, I'll bet that'll be a mistake. So, and I'm just before we move on back to the before we get more on your failures. No, but that whole notion of having a theme when things are going wrong, that's something you can always go back to. It's like, look, things are going wrong. We are strong trees, right? Strong winds. Strong winds are the problem. Strong trees is what we are.
It's a solution. And the idea that I even kept revisiting that fear versus love, like, am I reacting in fear that this show is going to suck instead of acting in love of, you know what, this is what it is. And let's give it as a gift of love instead of reacting in fear and getting all, you know, unable to continue because of being afraid. Let's just act in love and just laugh. And at some point you do have to laugh when everything's going wrong. And so, or else you do give up. So, let's just go forward. When everybody doesn't know their lines, let's figure out, let's act in love. And what's a loving way to move forward? What's a way we can love theater and love the actors and move forward and help without reacting in fear of yelling and screaming or canceling the show? So,
see, I'm really glad I brought that up because that's a really nice I really like that. And like, how do we deal with when everything is falling apart around us? Are we going to act in fear? React in fear? Or are we going to, we're going to love when you don't know your lines. How do we move forward?
And acting is an act of creation. So what can we create out of these failures instead of just reacting to them, which is sometimes rehashing. So how large is your school? How large is my school? I have 2,000 high schoolers. My advanced class is 27 kids in this 28 in this combined theater 3 and 4 class. I see about 200 students a day. And then I have a little over 100 in my thespian troupe.
Very cool. Yes. How do we just to put a pin on that we, it's an act of creation. How are we going to create this? Mm-hmm. How are we going to create something, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have the mistake of time, mistake of casting. Casting is everything, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And then what was mistake number 3 in the play that goes wrong?
Mistake number 3 was, again, in this amount of time, trying to do it all, trying to have the set, trying to have the costumes, trying to have the authentic 80s props, trying to do it all for this essentially that should have been a one act. So trying to do that. I pushed a lot of kids out of their comfort zones with this. Some of them I just pushed, out of their comfort zones. I had a student who'd never done set, building my set. I had a girl who'd never done costumes in charge of the costumes. So that was, and I should have cloned myself. Of course, every theater teacher needs to clone herself. They needed some more support, and I was not able to give them the support that they needed, but man, they did make it work. They did.
Well, it's a whole notion of this is what you got to do. Go do it. And not just letting them see that. Then that's a let them fail situation, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you might not succeed at this, but by goodness, you're going to next time, right? Because there is that little bit of that, right? Like next situation, next time, even though we want, every show to be perfect, they're just not going to be.
And I did get to see that a little bit. I had a girl who last year was in charge of the costumes for the one act for the 3-4 class. And she kind of failed miserably. I mean, I kept saying, get me what I need to get. She just didn't, she kind of failed miserably. We were able to make it work at the last minute, but mostly because I just kind of did it because she and the other kids in it did not. And she came back to theater 3-4 this year, which was a little bit of a surprise to me. But she came back and really talked to me about how she wanted a second chance. And so she was in charge of the makeup for this and hair and makeup, which is a big deal in Steel Magnolias, hair and makeup. And she knocked it out of the park. And she even wrote me a little note that just said, I was really inspired last year to be more excellent in the way that I do things. And she really did a great job. And that was one of the successes, was her working on that hair and makeup. And she really pushed people. She was like, your makeup designs are due today. Where are they? And so she was really great. And I just did not have to worry at all about hair and makeup because she totally took it over. So
that's a huge success.
That was a huge success. Let me just pat myself on my 12 layers of, 12 layers of clothing back.
But you know what? It's that notion too about how sometimes when we think something is going horribly wrong, that something else is happening, that it's something off stage is happening, something inside a kid is happening that
you won't see till the next year.
Yeah. Which is frustrating.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty awesome. So what did you, things you could not do it all. So what did you have to let go?
I really had to let go of the set, and then it came together really well, really beautifully. We were hanging the last thing on the set 5 minutes before the last dress rehearsal started. I mean, that's how late it was all. And our stage is super busy. We have so much in the performing arts going on at our school. Our stage is super busy. We actually have like 3 days to put up the set before, our dress rehearsal happens, and that's it. So it was kind of a very last minute on the set. During Saturday rehearsal, before we opened on Thursday, our lights died. I was actually texting Krista at that point, like, oh, good, our lights just died. Of course they did. Turned out there was a fan that had been broken for a while, but the lights kind of were like, now we're too hot. So we're just going to, in fact, they did an entire dress rehearsal with the lights going off and then coming back on, off, coming back on. And they did the entire dress rehearsal that way. It was, and then they did an entire dress rehearsal with a set being built around them. So they were really troopers, the cast was. But so we didn't know if we'd have actually lights for the show. At one point I thought, I'm just going to give everybody in the audience a flashlight and it's going to be interactive. Just shine your flashlight on the stage. And at that point I was like, you know what? If we don't have lights, I had three lamps on the stage and my lighting designer said I was obsessed with the lamps all the time. Like, can you make the lamps turn on? Turn the lamps on brighter. And at the end, when the lights weren't working, I was like, see, we're going to need those lamps. I told you those lamps were a good idea. So we thought we would really just do it by lamplight.
Hey man, so, you know what? Found lighting is a beautiful thing. I know a teacher who got a brand new stage built except for the lights. So she went into the new school, new season, and they kept saying, "Yep, they're coming. Yep, they're coming. Yep, they're coming." They did not come. So she's like, "Okay, we're doing a show." And that they did our town with all found lighting. So there was had nothing. So you just do with what you got. I think that is what educational theater is, right?
Yeah. I will say my admin was incredible. She had a part overnighted. We not knowing whether this was actually, you know, going to solve the problem or not, but I think she paid like $300 to have this part overnighted to see, you know, to get it fixed. And I kept telling the performing arts, we have our next big thing is our performing arts winter showcase, which is huge. And it's, you know, everything. It's guitar, steel drums, chorus. We do a little 10-minute. We did your thing last year. Remember, we did your Miss Miermeyer's.
Yes, of course.
Christmas for it. But anyway, so that's a huge thing. And we sell out and it's big. And I said, had they not died right before my thing, they would have died during pause. And so I just took that for the team and dealt with that so that it did not happen during our performing arts winter showcase, which is when it would have happened. And that would have been terrible. But but we actually got it and the lights worked by the time the show opened. We had three microphones that died during the show, but you know, whatever.
Well, by that point, you just would have been like, yep, okay. Yep.
I know the kid doing sound was like, we've lost three mics. I'm like, I can still hear him. The show keeps going. Go. I can still hear him. It's fine. Project more. Come on. Yeah.
Did you do, just talking about the difficulties of Steel Magnolias, which I think are quite, you don't realize it until you're in the thick of it, as you know. Hey, what's the name of your school, Ali?
Oh, Leon High School Tallahassee, Florida. Leon High School. Yeah.
Accents and hairstyles. Yeah. Like I've seen, was that part of the overwhelming thing? Did you do accents? Did you have them do hairstyles?
We are Southern. We are Southern. So that was not a huge thing. And I will say a couple of my students take acting from this great Naomi Rosemach. Let me just get a shout out because she actually came and helped me one day during rehearsal and was fantastic. I reached out for help. I really did. I had two great directors. Naomi directs in the community. And then I had Phil Croton, who's a friend of mine with Southern Shakespeare in Tallahassee. And he actually came and watched one of our rehearsals and helped also. They were both great. When I contacted them and just said, I feel like I'm drowning with this. They both were like, I'll come to a rehearsal and help. So really do not be afraid to reach out to people. I am not a director. I'm becoming one. I'm learning. Thank you, Drama Teacher Academy, for helping me. But do not be afraid to reach out. I mean, I think there's no people like show people. I had, you know, they were like, when do you want me to come? When are your rehearsals? I'll be there. And so they came and helped. And they, you know, some of it was, I just was worried the blocking is hard in it. They're sitting in a salon.
They're sitting and chatting.
The whole show. And I just kept thinking, oh my gosh, you know, they're just sitting and getting their hair done. Like it needs to be more action, right? And they came and were like, you know, no, your blocking is not horrible. It's what, you know, they tweaked a couple of things. In one place they had Malin move a line later, which, oh my gosh, was revolutionary. Is that funny when you're like, oh yeah, one line later makes all the difference. So, or, you know, moved one little thing. Naomi moved my set in a little bit. I had set it too wide. And she said, these girls need to be up on top of each other, which I was like, maybe not. I don't know if you've been living with them for the last couple of weeks, Naomi, but, and that helped having them up on it. She's like, it's a carport. They need to be up in everybody's business. That's how they are. I had made my set too wide. So they helped me with some little tweaks like that, that really did help make the show a lot better. And we're just at that point beyond what I could think of doing. So.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So we have time, we have casting, we have trying to be Wonder Woman, which, how do you solve that problem? Ask for help. Let things go and ask for help, I think is the lesson learned. Mm-hmm. One more. Do you got one more? I think we could probably do this.
I will say one more. I find somebody, you know, most of us are single drama teachers in the school. And so it was really helpful for me. Some of you may remember I put a post up on Drama Teacher Academy like, hey, we're 2.5 weeks away and everybody in the cast wants to kill me. Is this typical asking for a friend? And it was so funny, the responses I got. And then, of course, I reached out to Krista, who we have kind of developed this little, drama teacher sisterhood kind of thing. And because she had just finished her show. We keep saying we need to make sure on our calendars we're not doing shows at the same time so we can really help each other. And she had just finished a show and she was the one that was like, it will open, it will close, and then you will put on your yoga pants. And that kind of just became my mantra of it will open and then it will close and it will at some point be over and I can breathe again. So that was just really find another drama teacher or somebody that you can reach out to. And that's why Drama Teacher Academy is so great, because you can get on Facebook and say, you know, I need help with this, or I'm drowning, or what have you done about this? Or have any of you done this? And there's always somebody who either will encourage you and go, yep, me too, which I love. C.S. Lewis says that's how friendship begins, is somebody saying, what? I thought I was the only one. Me too. So you just feel great when that happens, that like, okay, I'm not the only one that all this has happened to. And there are some great ideas for that. Krista gave me a great idea about having the kids do beat cheat sheets, which is go through and see when the beat changes and make notes about that and even put them up on the stage if they needed to. None of my kids really needed to at the end, but just, and I was like, oh, I'll make those. And Krista's like, no, you will not. They will make those. And if they, because that's how they'll remember it, is if they make it. And so I told them, I said, I'd actually already talked to them about it, but none of them had made it. And finally I was like, listen, you can make it or you cannot, but I assure you it will help you if you make it. And some of them did, and they did, and ended up that helped them learn their lines. Phil Croton gave them a great idea to record the whole show and then just listen to it all the time and just record everybody's lines and listen to it. And that really helped them, because they were able to help when somebody else dropped a line. And they were able to help and say something, you know, improv their way through that to get that part in. So that was a great suggestion. So all awesome. At the last minute. It just feel like it's always at the last minute. So.
Yeah, but it happens. It happens. So we've been talking a little bit about DramateacherAcademy.com, and I've just put there's a link up on the screen. For those of you listening to the podcast, there's going to be a link in the show notes. Lee, you're just selling our stuff for you. So that's all great.
There you go. Yeah.
I love it. Awesome. Okay. So as we wrap up here, what was your biggest takeaway from the play that went wrong for you? What was your biggest takeaway, and what are you going to, I know you don't want to think about it, but, and what are you going to do? Moving forward, what are you going to do next time, do you think?
I think I really need to evaluate what is my educational, what are my educational goals and what are my aesthetic goals for it? And then how much weight do I give each one? I do not think I will double cast. I really don't think I'll double cast for this next one. The Arsonist has a lot of a Greek chorus of firemen. So we can put a lot of people in it, but I don't think I'll double cast the leads for that, even though, you know, that does give kids more time on stage. But wait and see. We'll wait and see if I decide to go that route again. But I think that, and I think just really looking a little more seriously at the play that I choose when it is a production in class, and how much time am I going to have in class? Versus how much time do I have when I do the spring show and it's after school, longer rehearsals. So I think that is, I'm just going to have to learn to kind of evaluate plays a little bit differently and choose something that can be done as a class production for the fall production.
Well, it's just amazing how the content of the play is great, but that the other factors can actually, that's what override it. That's what sort of derailed you, right? It wasn't the play, yeah. It was the play.
No, the content is beautiful. It's a beautiful play. It just, the time needed to do it justice, we did not have. And I think we did in the end, we actually did. And one of my admin, again, the one that ordered the part really quick for me, she had said when I first said, I think we're doing Steel Magnolias, she said, oh, that's a hard play. She knows everything. I don't know why she knows everything, but she does. She goes, that's a hard play. And I did not listen to her. So kind of halfway through, I was like, slap me next time. When you tell me something, I should listen. Slap me when you tell me something. It's a hard play. And she's like, it really is. And then she looked at me and she said, but if anybody can put it up on that stage, it's you. And that really just, that inspired me so much. And I did, I told the girls at the cast dinner, I said, you know, our Miss Hembree said this was a really hard play. It was really hard to do. And I said, you know, sometimes it's fun to do the impossible, which we have done. We are putting this play up on the stage, and it is really, it's solid. It really is solid. And so that was it. And they all kind of felt like, and one of them even in her thank you said, thank you for believing that we could do something that, you know, our admin didn't think that we could. And I was thinking, no, I was just too stupid to, you know, sometimes ignorance is bliss. You do things because you're thinking, how could this be hard? It's six people in a beauty shop. What's hard?
I have in my life the value of ignorance when you're just like, yeah, sure, you know, why not? You know, you don't even, that way there's no fear when you really have no idea what you're doing.
When you're stupid, there's no fear. So,
what a great way to end. It's fun to do the impossible. You know, if that's the only thing we could ever instill in students, I think that they would go out and they would have pretty amazing lives. You know, it's fun to do the impossible. Sweet. Lee, thank you so much. Taking time out of your holiday and sitting outside, you know.
Sitting outside in 50 degree weather with five layers on.
Well, we appreciate you. Ah, you earned your yoga pants. You see that?
Open, it will close, and there will be yoga pants. That's all. Yeah. And we can say it to you in emojis now. Krista sent it to me in emojis and it's really cute. It will open, it will close, and there will be yoga pants.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Lee.
All right, bye.
Thank you, Lee. Before we go, let's do some theater folk news. So Lee Marshall is not only just a treasure and a treat and an amazing resource, but she is also a curriculum contributor to our Drama Teacher Academy. And we have some great stuff from her. We have in the DTA, a great Theater of the Absurd unit, and also a Ancient Greek Theater Hyperdoc, which she put together specifically to give students during Tech Week when she's tearing her hair out and she still has to teach. So DTA, the Drama Teacher Academy, is a membership site just for drama teachers that offers professional development, curriculum, resources, and community. And you can find out more at dramateacheracademy.com, that's all one word, or click the link in the show notes, which you can find at theaterfolk.com/episode204. And since you've made it this far in the podcast, I know there's not many of you, but thank you. I'd also like to point out in the show notes where you will find some extra treats just for you. Yes, yes, I mean it. There are two posters that this episode kind of inspired me to have made up. So they're there in the show notes. Finally, where can you find this podcast? Go to theaterfolk.com/podcast, and there you will see we are on iTunes, Android, Google Play, Stitcher, and more. That's theaterfolk.com/podcast, and that's where we're going to end. Take care, my friends. Take care.